Stugatz's weekend observations coming up in 2 minutes. Also, a Greg Cody back in my day around the corner.
Yeah. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN+. Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. Rockets guard Russell Westbrook has joined the team in Orlando for the NBA restart. Dr. Anthony Fauci will throw out the ceremonial first pitch Thursday night before the reigning World Series champion Nationals home opener versus the Yankees. And finally, police in Italy said they searched a package addressed to a fictional mafia boss and discovered it contained 4.5 ounces of cocaine hidden inside hollowed-out coffee beans. The Guardia di Finanza. Financial police said customs officers checked the contents of the package after they noticed it was addressed to Santino D'Antonio, a fictional organized crime boss from the movie John Wick, Chapter 2. Today on ESPN Daily, Simone Biles is the most decorated American gymnast ever. Now she's also an advocate for reform within her sport. ESPN's Alyssa Roenick shares reporting from 30 for 30's Heavy Metals on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are all in different locations. The pandemic has separated us. This is the rare day when Mike Stugatz and I are in studio. Everyone else is on remote. And one of my favorite things, maybe the only thing I like about Tuesdays, is seeing how long Greg Cody continues to talk on the Zoom after he has missed the hard network out. That last time was about 30 seconds, but he's gone on for 2 minutes. And if you saw our faces, you would see us pretend to listen, even though the segment has been over for 2 minutes and we're in commercial. The record is about 2 minutes, correct, so far during the pandemic?
Yeah, I keep pushing him along because I want Greg to, A, not know that he was chopped off by the hard network out, and I'm genuinely interested in where he's going.
We continue to nod and smile, and he misses it every time during the pandemic. I don't think he's successfully completed one. Number two, Greg Cody, the second best reason to visit a cemetery on vacation is...
fresh graves. Yeah, I love seeing fresh, upturned dirt in a decades-old, centuries-old cemetery. Indications that someone new is buried there, because you have to wonder, wow, why did his loved ones put him here? Who was this person? You know, did he listen to the Greg Cody Show podcast? You know, things like that go through your mind.
Number one, Greg Cody.
Mementos. This is big. This is huge. Any cemetery aficionado knows what I'm talking about. You look for little, you know, you see coins left on headstones, candles. And one thing I saw, I was in a cemetery in northern Maine, as far north as you can get in the United States without being in Canada. And I'm visiting, touring this graveyard. And all of a sudden, mysteriously, there's a stack of old paperback novels next to this grave. And they've been there so long, they're moldy, they're sodden. And you wonder, you know, I didn't even dare touch them because they're like artifacts. They're precious things. But these are the kind of things you see when touring a beautiful cemetery.
Thank you, Greg Cody. I'm glad we stretched that out across three segments. We probably should have done more on you shampooing your hair in the pool.
I'm curious, since, Dad, you are our cemetery expert, I have a question on the etiquette. What do we feel about people jogging in cemeteries? Now, to me, there's something about somebody trying to prolong their life in a setting of people that are no longer with us. So how do you feel about that? Do we judge these people?
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is it disrespectful to jog through a cemetery?
Yes, we do judge these people, and badly, poorly. In fact, I did a back in my day called Cemetery Joggers about that very thing. You don't look, people, this is not your exercise place. You don't, what are you going to put a treadmill next to somebody's grave and start working out? Come on, get out of the cemetery unless you're touring it respectfully like me or visiting a loved one.
I was just going to say, but you're not exercising and you're not visiting anyone. So you're just creepily walking around it. So what's the difference between you doing it and a jogger?
Because I'm paying an homage to the deceased. The people I don't even know, I'm giving them the ultimate respect. Yeah. I'm wandering slowly, solemnly through the cemetery, nodding at graves, appreciating lives.
Pretending that you belong there because you don't want to be not affiliated with anyone there. Because if you're not affiliated, do you pretend when others come by to not be a creepy person who's just wandering around a cemetery filled with dead people he doesn't know?
No, because there are plenty like me. You'd be surprised. I represent a whole underbelly of people who go to cemeteries simply because we're fascinated by them. There's probably a name for us, cemeterians or something like that. I don't know what we're
crazy
called,
people.
Yeah. Plus, you want to visit your and you want to visit your future neighbors. So, I mean,
exactly. No, my wife will tell you when we go on vacation, I seek out cemeteries, and we'll be driving. This has happened in the past. We're driving on a highway in a city we've never been, and all of a sudden, I see one of these little tiny cemeteries with like a dozen, 15 plots in it. I practically screech to a halt, and I whip a U-turn, and all of a sudden, my wife stays in the car. She wants nothing to do with it. And all of a sudden, I'm wandering this little out-of-nowhere cemetery because I'm just fascinated by it.
Dan, each one he visits, he is potentially visiting and scoping out his new neighborhood, his neighbors,
getting
lots
a feel,
of land.
Getting a feel for the neighborhood. Wait a minute. Am I a little crowded here? Do I not have enough space because I got this guy, Nicolas Cage, over here building his pyramid too close to where I'm at?
He's seeing how the schools are around the area. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's checking it out.
Exactly. Can I get a spot under that beautiful ficus tree with a beautiful canopy?
All right. Unfortunately, we do not have time anymore for weekend observations in this segment because of Greg Cody's meanderings. It's the whole thing sounds weird, voyeuristic, creepy, haunting, and I can't believe that on top of everything else, you think being a caretaker at a cemetery is a great job. Like, I mean, buried in everything else we were talking about, that seems like an awful, lonely job. And if you're someone who believes that you do not know what you do not know, you don't know what the hell spiritually or energetically is making its way through that cemetery.
Although I'm guessing being a caretaker pays very well. And if it doesn't, it should. I mean, who wants that job, right? I'm guessing it would pay a lot of money.
I don't think it pays a lot of money because you could get a lot of different people to do it who need money. How do you figure that a caretaker at a cemetery would be paid a great deal?
I'm thinking it pays a lot of money, Dan. I don't think you're I think you're underestimating the average salary of a caretaker.
Well, what are you making it? $7 million a year? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing specifically?
I'm thinking that a caretaker is somewhere in the neighborhood of $75,000 to $125,000 per year.
Yes, all of that. The internet. All of that. And worth every penny of it.
The internet is telling me right now that the average pay for a cemetery caretaker is $46,000.
Not great.
Underpaid, yeah. Graveyard shift.
Stugatz's weekend observations.
What? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
It is not time for Straight Talk. It is time for the weekend observations where you will find some Straight Talk. Let's do it.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, don't look now, But in 4 days, it's Yankees, Nationals, Giants, Dodgers. Dan, baseball is back.
Look at that.
Serious question. Should James Harden really have to wear a mask or just a mouthpiece? The NBA is building a barbershop inside the bubble for players, which upsets LeBron James since, according to him, he owns the rights to all barbershops. Even with no fans attending baseball games, am I the only one who still thinks the Marlins will finish last in attendance this season?
Did you get wrong the date that baseball returns by 2 days? Did you get it wrong by 2 days?
4 days it starts.
I think it starts the day after tomorrow.
Let's see. Oh, you know what?
That's not 4 days.
Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, and then it starts. So 4 days. Right?
Look, I know that you play the character of the dumb guy, but that was so poorly done right there. So poorly done putting Saturday before Wednesday as if you didn't know it.
It's after Thursday. I'm sorry. Dr. Anthony Fauci will be throwing out the ceremonial first pitch on Thursday in Washington to kick off the baseball season. 4 days from now. Good for him. Well deserved. Now get back to work. For all you gamblers out there who love a good underdog bet, Fauci not wearing a mask is plus 1 million. You sneak a little, a couple bucks there, Nano.
He will probably wear a mask. Yes, you got it.
We'll fly around Fauci.
That's good value, though. It is good value.
Plus a million.
Maybe you get lucky. You get lucky that he just decides to take it off at the foul line and then come back and get it.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence got engaged over the weekend to his longtime girlfriend. He's 20 years old. Hashtag young and dumb. Although, in the picture Trevor posted of him proposing, he is kneeling down, but his knee isn't fully touching the ground. I think he may be trying to tell us something, Dan. That or he's running one hell of a trick play. Laffy Taffy, I like you, but you are too hard to open. There is no candy I like enough that I am going to work that hard just to open it.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Laffy Taffy too hard to open?
Same with Now or Laters. Just not worth it. Scrape around to get the wrapper off. I'm not going to do it. When did Mark Cuban decide he wasn't going to shut up?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Stugatz even lazy about candy eating?
I thought you were going to put on the poll, when did Mark Cuban decide he wasn't going to shut up? Mark, here's an idea. Worry about your own team and clean out your own closets. Why is Mark Cuban cleaning out his closets?
He had someone do it for him. Yeah.
People in my community, don't wear a mask and let me see you. I dare you. Parents in Florida, some advice. Here's what I tell my kids. The man on your television screen, he's not your governor. You know who is? Me. I suggest you do the same. I'm telling you, being the president in Sharknado 2 really got to Mark Cuban's head. I didn't know there was an award called the Ballon d'Or, handed out by the French to who they think is the best football player of the past year. I had no idea France took the NFL that seriously. A Clemson quarterback changed his mind and decided to go to Ohio State. Dan, you know what that is?
I do not.
It's the rare time where the rich get poorer and the rich get richer.
Wow.
How about that?
Can I ask you a question real quick, going back just a couple of observations?
Which one? Yeah, sure.
The candy that is hard to open that isn't Laffy Taffy. What do you think the name of that is?
Now and Laters.
Okay.
Why?
I shouldn't have gone back there. I feel like you said something different last time.
He said Now or Laters. I know that because I wrote it for him. I'm shocked to find out that this is Now and Laters and not Now or Laters. Put it on the poll. Did you know that?
It's now and later. I don't think it's plural.
Although, learning so much right now. I always call those now or laters. I always ate like 50% of the wax paper, too.
I never eat them. I can't get the wrapper off.
So hard to chew.
Yep, not worth it. LeBron's rookie card sold for $1.8 million. Imagine what it would have sold for if he wasn't 3-6 in the NBA Finals. What happened? Headline, Jack Nicklaus fist bumps John Rahm instead of the traditional handshake, the Golden Bear. The Toronto Blue Jays are looking for a professional ballpark to play in the United States. Marlins Park is one of the options. Seems perfect. A professional park without a professional team. The Buffalo Blue Jays would outdraw the Florida Marlins. Tiger, remember.
Miami Marlins.
Thank you. Eye on the prize. This is all a slow prowl on the road to Augusta. Dwight Howard, can you spend any portion of your career not acting like a jackass? Thank you. Whatever happened to wearing gloves? A tradition unlike any other. July 23rd, opening day. Nothing says spring like 96 degrees in Miami, 108 with the humidity, and 10,000 positive COVID cases per day. I thought this thing was going to disappear when it got warm.
Yeah.
Can you get COVID if the person you're standing next to outside suddenly burst into flames?
Did you say it's spring?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Aren't we in, like, in the middle of summer?
Oh. I've lost track of time. Don't look now. But it took a world pandemic.
That's why Saturday came before Wednesday.
That had one of its own players praying to God that he would be alive the next morning for Major League Baseball to stumble into a way of making all their games feel meaningful. CBSSports.com, Monday afternoon, 4:50 p.m. Eastern. Third headline, Phil Mickelson takes a putt from 79 yards out. Hashtag COVID-19. Lefty. The Jets won't allow spectators at home games this year. Jet fans, I promise you, watching them lose from home is a much better experience than watching them do it in person. Report. Iowa's Kirk Ferentz was aware of mistreatment.
Ferentz.
In 2000, whatever.
You're saying it like Christopher Walken.
You've been, Ferentz, the
watch. You've been ripping him for many decades.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Kirk Ferentz
was aware of mistreatment in 2018. I'm sorry. Did anyone think he wasn't aware? Jet fans, I'm telling you, you'll never want to go back. Looks like Buster Olney is going to be a little bit off on his prediction of the baseball season having a 1% chance of starting. Many of the top college football coaches have taken a pay cut during the coronavirus pandemic. Remarkably, every time one of them does, Nick Saban gets a raise. Don Mattingly deserves some consideration for NL Manager of the Year for having the Marlins in a tie for first place in the NL East on July 23rd. 384 tests, zero positives. The NBA bubble seems like the place to be. And trust me when I tell you, because I was recently there, those 384 negative tests are the only 384 people in that area that don't have the virus. Considering the amount of cases in Dade County, as compared to Broward County, shouldn't Dan be coming to my house to do the show? Hell is going on. Speaking of hell, our prize.
Greg Cody's Back in My Day next. Before we get to Greg Cody's Back in My Day, the audience is pointing this out, Greg. You, as an aside, and this makes me crazy when you and Stu got to do it, as an aside, you felt the need to add that Maine is one of the northernmost points in the United States. It was useless information, but as an added bonus, it was also wholly inaccurate. I've gotten a list here from our listeners who are mad at you. I mean, there are a ton of places in Alaska. There's a ton of places in Washington. There are places in Minnesota. Thank you for that helpful cough. Chicago is further north than Maine. Like, why did you feel the need to say that, as if we didn't know where Maine was, by the way, to explain to us how far north you were?
Yeah, I meant the northeastern United States.
Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Dog treats. It's so bad. Have you walked down the pet aisle of a supermarket lately? Has anyone called them supermarkets lately, for that matter? It's a whole new world, folks. We've gone crazy marketing to dogs, or rather to pet owners buying on behalf of their canines. Back in my day, a dog treat was a biscuit in the shape of a bone. Life was simple. The mutt required no more. Look, before I dive into this, I need to remind everyone, I live with a dog named Riley, named after Pat Riley, mixed breed, rescue animal. We love her, part of the family, et cetera, and so forth. I say this so members of PETA aren't picketing my house before I'm done talking here, because I'm here to remind you that dogs are simple-minded, a kind way of saying dumb. They have the intellect of a two-year-old toddler. They will eat anything you give them that smells like food to them. When you give them a treat shaped like a piece of bacon, they are not processing that you have just handed them an actual piece of bacon. Same when you give them a treat shaped like an Oreo, complete with a cream filling, or an ice cream dog treat. They make those now. Treats shaped like donuts and meatballs, small alligators. Treats shaped like hearts. Oh, he gave me a treat shaped like a heart. He loves me. Who are we fooling here, the dog or the owner? There are yogurt and berry dog treats, pumpkin and apple. There are dog treats made of filet mignon, in case you see nothing wrong with Fido eating better than 500,000 homeless people. The filet mignon dog treats, by the way, are made to have grill marks to further impress your mutt. We've gone nuts for our dogs. There are CBD dog treats containing the active ingredient in cannabis. I tried one. Gave me the munchies for more dog treats. There are dog treats shaped like a can of White Claw spiked seltzer called White Paw Bark Cherry. A company called North Coast Pets sells ostrich hearts as dog treats. A company called Homes Alive Pets sells something it calls bully sticks for $5.49 each.
We get it. Are you going to keep doing this?
We
get it. How many of these are you going to do? Because your son has been shaking his head sadly for about 2 minutes.
People, are we giving our dogs way too much credit for having a discerning palate? Remember who we're dealing with here. You are living with someone who spends 10 minutes around the fire hydrant transfixed, enchanted by the intoxicating aroma of another dog's urine. The smell and taste of his own vomit is delicious to your dog. This is pretty much the last animal on earth you need to impress with canine ice cream or treats that look like donuts or pricey bull penises. Try this experiment next time you're at the dinner table. Take a bite of a cheeseburger, half chew it, and then drop the masticated dump of it onto the floor and watch Fido go. That's how particular your dog is about what enters his gullet. Save your money, my friends. Give your four-legged friend a biscuit shaped like a dog bone or a hunk of rawhide and slide that filet mignon on over to me. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Chris, you were shaking your head sadly from the moment his big intro started with wheezing, coughing. I don't know what to do about the sheer number of times that Greg Cody inflicts sickness upon our audience. Your cough, your laugh right now, Greg, I don't want to make you laugh, because when I make you laugh, I'm worried about the day we're going to be listening to your eulogy.
He'll be right at home.
I mean. Because I can't explain to the audience. We're not on television. We haven't been on television in many months. Mm. So we exist as thoughts in your head. And Greg Cody, if you hear him and only hear him, it's slowly moving disease. Anytime he laughs, anytime he starts to speak, it's worse than it's ever been, is it not? I mean, there was a period where he couldn't stop his coughing. But at this point, there is no time that laughter comes without coughing, correct?
I think you're right. I mean, Greg, would you say that it is progressively getting worse? Because it feels from here like it is. Is that fair?
No, it really isn't. I want to allay anyone's concerns. I feel great. I'm in good health. I have tested positive for nothing except positivity. I'm a positive person, and I love everyone.
Coming up next, we introduce you to Cruise Line Billy.
Pay that man his money.
What, Billy? Chris says he's fascinated by a different personality that you evidently exhibit on cruise ships. Free. Free and looking for orgies.
Whoa.
Not that free? He is so far away from the microphone. He thinks he did that quietly.
Was that a sneeze or a cough?
He thinks that cough, that comedically perfect cough, he thinks that nobody heard it. He just went and turned his back to us as if that was a discreet thing that he just did. At Levitard Show on Twitter is how you vote on the polls. We were going to go to introduce you to Cruise Line Billy here, but they're testing fire alarms in his building, so this would be a bad time to do that. We segue seamlessly into other things conversationally.
If you want, Dan, we can play with fire, no pun intended, and try to do it anyway.
You want to try it, but it only works. We only get the payoff if it goes off. We can do it, but then the payoff is just annoying the listener. Who the hell likes to hear a fire alarm go off? You know what? Turn off his microphone. I regret asking those follow-up questions. Let me go down this path with Mike Ryan, because there are a couple of things I wanted to ask him about. One, during the Masvidal fight, one of the more recent UFC fights, now that we're having them every 10 minutes, Tenet was something that was broadcast a lot, a commercial for Christopher Nolan's new movie that I guess has been delayed a number of times. I was kind of weird. I thought it was strange that I'm like, they keep saying in theaters in August. And I'm like, we're not going to be in any theaters in August. So what is the nature of the latest delay with this movie? Because they were obviously targeting, by going that UFC promotion, males of a certain age that will absolutely eat up a Christopher Nolan movie.
They're targeting everybody. They were supposed to do something special on Fortnite. The movie theater industry was banking on Tenet being the tentpole summer box office smash, your traditional box office summer smash. And unfortunately, it's been subject to numerous delays. And partly to blame, this should have just been postponed indefinitely from the get-go. But the studio keeps saying, oh no, we're just going to push it to this date. We're just going to push it to this date. To the point that we all knew three delays earlier. Just say indefinite, because you're just playing yourself. And sure enough, the indefinite postponement finally came down last week, and everyone's looking forward to this movie, even though no one knows what it's about.
I heard the faintest sound of a fire alarm. Billy unmuted his microphone just so that you could drink in a little of that. The other thing I wanted to mock Mike Ryan about, Stugatz, you've been making fun of Mike Ryan for a long time about here comes soccer. Soccer is the best, and Inter Miami has gotten off. He was so excited about the start of all of this.
Yeah.
And the start couldn't possibly be any worse. Just a total unmitigated disaster of a start. What is it, five games in?
MLS record, first expansion team to lose their first five games ever. Yeah, disastrous inaugural season.
Hmm.
They were just, hours away from having their first ever home match, even though it's in Fort Lauderdale, and everything about this launch has gone poorly. The team is not really fun to watch. No imagination up top. It's just one guy trying to do everything, and they're super undisciplined too, getting bad red cards. It doesn't really seem like they're that bad because they're losing every game by one goal, but they're not winning anything. They're not getting any points.
Cody, you and Mike Ryan were so excited about this thing, and this is the worst possible way for all of it to start. It's not merely that they're in Fort Lauderdale in some sort of, you know, swamp out there that doesn't make them very Miami-based at all during a pandemic, but it's also they're god-awful.
Yeah, everything's been a nightmare so far, I will say. Although I think 5-1 goal losses it doesn't quite reach the level of disastrous for me. But I think the expectations were set so high based on what other first-year teams in the league have done recently, such as Atlanta. And the Inter Miami set the expectations high themselves by sort of promising what they haven't delivered, which is star power. You know, I do think Pizarro is a really nice player, but he just doesn't have enough help around him. And the goalkeeper is really old and on his last leg. So, you know, this is a team that needs to bring in some real lifeblood, because right now it's been a terrible start.
A lot of people want to, yeah, but the star power with Pizarro, he's not a star. You got to listen to the people that say they have no star power, because that's exactly what star power is. And the star could actually help some of their other players.
Too early for a coaching change?
I mean, not ridiculous.
I agree that Pizarro is not a star, but I will say that MLSsoccer.com did a preseason ranking of the best players in the league, and he was like 12th or 13th in the entire league. So he's somebody that you add to and build around.
How much has your enthusiasm for this? Again, I remember the shows we did, you and Mike Ryan, telling us, wait until soccer takes over this market filled with so many minorities. We always do monster World Cup ratings. We don't pay any attention down here in South Florida to college basketball.
The ratings have been good on television, though, it should be said.
So, like, where are we? You're putting a positive spin on this, Greg Cody, who made his bones, Stugatz. Bones were made by Greg Cody on the soccer beat, covering the Fort Lauderdale Strikers of Ray Hudson. Old-timey 1980s awful uniforms. You kept telling us how exciting this was going to be. And we've got the Marlins if what we wanted was losing.
I maintain that Inter Miami has a chance to very.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.